Let's open God's holy and powerful word to 2 Samuel 5. And may he use this word to touch our hearts and lives and encourage us in faith to believe God's promises. 2 Samuel 5, page 303 in your pew Bibles. I'll read the whole chapter, but our text is verses 6 through 16, where we read of David's first act of kingship as king of all Israel. Take note of his first act of kingship. 2 Samuel 5, then all the tribes of Israel came to David at Hebron and said, "Behold, we are your bone and flesh. In times past, when Saul was king over us, it was you who led us and brought us in Israel, or led out and brought in Israel. And the Lord said to you, 'You shall be shepherd of my people Israel, and you shall be prince over Israel.' So all the elders of Israel came to the king at Hebron. And King David made a covenant with them at Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel. David was 30 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years. At Hebron, he reigned over Judah 7 years and 6 months, and at Jerusalem, he reigned over all Israel and Judah 33 years. And the king and his men went to Jerusalem against the Jebusites, the inhabitants of the land, who said to David, 'You will not come in here, but the blind and the lame will ward you off,' thinking, 'David cannot come in here.' Nevertheless, David took the stronghold of Zion, that is the city of David. And David said on that day, 'Whoever would strike the Jebusites, let him get up the water shaft to attack the lame and the blind, who are hated by David's soul.' And therefore it is said, 'The blind and the lame shall not come into the house.' And David lived in the stronghold and called it the city of David. And David built the city all around from the millow inward. And David became greater and greater, for the Lord, the God of hosts, was with him. And Hiram, king of Tyre, sent messengers to David and cedar trees, also carpenters and masons who built David a house. And David knew that the Lord had established him king over Israel and that he had exalted his kingdom for the sake of his people Israel. And David took more concubines and wives from Jerusalem after he came from Hebron. And more sons and daughters were born to David. And these are the names of those who were born to him in Jerusalem: Shammua, Shobab, Nathan, Solomon, Ibhar, Elishua, Nepheg, Japhia, Elishama, Eliada, and Eliphelet. When the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king over Israel, all the Philistines went up to search for David. But David heard of it and went down to the stronghold. Now the Philistines had come and spread out in the valley of Rephaim, and David inquired of the Lord, 'Shall I go up against the Philistines? Will you give them into my hand?' And the Lord said to David, 'Go up, for I will certainly give the Philistines into your hand.' And David came to Baal Perazim, and David defeated them there. And he said, 'The Lord has broken through my enemies before me like a breaking flood.' Therefore, the name of that place is called Baal Perazim. And the Philistines left their idols there, and David and his men carried them away. And the Philistines came up yet again and spread out in the valley of Rephaim. And David, when David inquired of the Lord, he said, 'You shall not go up. Go around to their rear and come against them opposite the balsam trees. And when you hear the sound of the marching in the tops of the balsam trees, then rouse yourself. For then the Lord has gone out before you to strike down the army of the Philistines.' And David did as the Lord commanded him and struck down the Philistines from Geba to Gezer." This is the Lord's word. He build us by it. And verses 6 through 16, these verses are our text this morning. The Lord takes Jerusalem as the capital city of Israel through David. brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, here is another momentous event in the history of the church and really in the history of the whole world. Jerusalem gets elevated to become the capital city of Israel and the holy city of God. And that continues to be the church's capital city today, Jerusalem. That's still our capital city today, Jerusalem, the holy city, the city of David, also called Ariel, the city we love. This is David's first act as the king over all Israel, to capture that fortress city called Salem, where 1,000 years before Abraham met Melchizedek, king of Salem or Jerusalem. It was a city that was still inhabited by an old Canaanite tribe, the Jebusites. And this is the city that God chooses to be his dwelling place, his headquarters on earth, to live among his people, and from there to reach out and bless his people. It truly is the church's and the world's most important city today, Jerusalem. But we got to understand that properly, because the Jerusalem of the Old Covenant in the Middle East in Palestine that David captured has now graduated through Jesus. And when he ascended, it went up to heaven with him. And now our headquarters is Jerusalem that's gone up, Jerusalem that is above, says Galatians 4. That's the holy city, the headquarters of God. And from there, the Lord Jesus is gathering citizens for his city from all over the world, including us. It's still our capital city today, the Jerusalem, the new Jerusalem that is above. And it was captured way back then, in about the year 1000 BC, is David's first act of kingship. It's a momentous event, holds all kinds of power and significance and importance for the church of all ages. So we want to see that theme, the world's most important city, or God elevates the world's most important city, occupied by the Jebusites, reclaimed by David and built for Israel. Built by God for Israel. Occupied by the Jebusites. And I say occupied because it didn't really belong to the Jebusites. In the days of Joshua, we read that in the book of Joshua, God took that city and he assigned it to the tribe of Benjamin. It was theirs. And it was strategically located on the territory, the border of Judah and Benjamin. So between the southern tribe and the northern tribes, binding the nation together, very strategically located. And we read in the book of Joshua and Judges that the men of Judah captured the stronghold of Jerusalem, which was inhabited by the Jebusites. And they set the city on fire. But they couldn't clear out the Jebusites. And so the Jebusites lived there and lived there all the way to the day of David. It was a city built on a hill. It was surrounded by cliffs and valleys. And later excavations in the last century, they've dug down beneath the old city. There are walls 10 meters, 30 feet thick. And a battering ram will rattle your brain, but it won't rattle the wall. So it was considered undefeatable. And so they just left it. Even though God promised them the land of the Jebusites. And even though God commanded them to drive out the Jebusites because he had had his fill of their wickedness and pride and idolatry and immorality. Remember way back, 1,000 years before, in Genesis 15, in the covenant God made with Abraham, he promised him the land of the Jebusites. Listen, Genesis 15. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, to your offspring I will give this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates, the land of the Kenites, the Kenizzites, the Kadmonites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, Rephaim, Amorites, the Canaanites, the Girgashites, and the Jebusites. He says, yours. I give it to you. I promise it to you. But they didn't believe the promise. Sort of like that division between Joshua and Caleb and the other 10 spies. Caleb says, let's go in and take the land. The Lord is with us. And the other 10 said, we're way too small. And they're giants. And they're because of their unbelief, they didn't go in and take it. And so also, all these years of unbelief, they just let the Jebusites live there. We don't want to poke the bear, you know. It's all kind of peaceful right now. We're live and let live. But it was unbelief. And you know what? When you lack faith, what do you lack next? Courage. When you don't believe in the power of God to bless you when you follow him, you lack the courage to do what's right. And you let sin thrive. And the enemies of God just live in the church. And that's what they were doing. And I can imagine that when David and his men say, let's poke the bear, the Israelites are saying, oh, whoa, we didn't bargain for this when we anointed you as our king. Oh, leave them alone. It's okay this way. That's not peace. That's just tolerance. And David, in faith, was not willing to live in the situation of compromise. Remember when Goliath came and assaulted the people of Israel? Little David took on somebody twice his height, four times his weight, and with 100 times his military training. Not because David thought he was tough. He said to Goliath, you come to me with a spear and a sword and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of the hosts, Lord of hosts. He was little, but he trusted in a big God. And when you believe in the Lord and you accept his promises, that gives you courage to claim those promises and to go forward in faith to do what God says. This is just faith in action. Oh, by the way, do you remember what David did when he killed Goliath and he cut off his head? Any memories? He packed up the head. He brought it to Jerusalem. And he deposited it there. As if to say, hey, Jebusites, you laugh at us and our God. Well, here's a little something for you to think about. I'll be back later. And now he's back. By faith. That later has come, and David has the advantage of growing up in the region. He grew up a little south of there, right, in Bethlehem. And he knows these cliffs, and he knows these valleys well. But above all, he knows the Lord of hosts and his strength. So the first thing we read after God gives him the throne, and the king and his men went to Jerusalem against the Jebusites, verse 6, the inhabitants of the land. These inhabitants said to David, you will not come in here, but the blind and the lame will ward you off. Like, you guys are so weak, and we're so undefeatable, that even if we got together an army of only disabled people, they could ward you off. Don't bother trying. Thinking David cannot come in here, but pride goeth before the fall, right? Now, if we know something about David, a man of faith, he's not intimidated by threats and lies, by Goliaths shouting curses on Israel, or Jebusites saying, you can't come in here. But you can imagine what happens as soon as you step out in faith to do what's right, to pursue the plan of the Lord. The world's going to mock you. Try it, buddy. You'll never make it. Even if our whole army is made of disabled people, the blind and the lame, they'd be able to keep you out. You are such a weakling, David, and Israel is such a weak people. And brothers and sisters, it's guaranteed when you step out to serve the Lord, the world's not going to take that sitting down. They're going to intimidate you and try to make you sit down again. Just hold it there. You can't get in here. Sin and Satan and the world all laugh and taunt and try to intimidate us. That's what happens if we poke the bear. The church goes after false teaching, goes after sin. Our enemies will try to ward us off with a sense of impossibility. You better just learn to live with it, because you'll never succeed. That's the same with the voices of sin and Satan in your own life. If you dare to poke the bear, I want to get rid of this sin that keeps getting me down. Maybe it's gossip. Maybe it's anger. Maybe it's lust, bitterness, holding a grudge. You dare to poke that bear, sin and Satan writes out, don't even start. It's going to just make your life go in upheaval. And so we quit. We quit. And we believe the lies of the Jebusites. Even the lame and the blind will defeat you. Don't even try. But we need to know, brothers and sisters, that we have a power greater than David going before us. David's greater son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross to destroy our sin and rose again to give us victory. And in his name, you go after sin and you go after the lie and you seek to follow the Lord, he will bless your faithfulness. He will bless you. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, says the apostle. That is, all things God has promised to me and called me to do. We do not need to be afraid. Only thing is, we can't go in our own strength, because the enemy is too tough. Only Jesus, through his blood and spirit, have the strength we need. And so we see, secondly, the world's greatest city is reclaimed by David. And I love that next verse, verse 7, nevertheless. So there's all this intimidation and bullying by the Jebusites. Nevertheless, David took the stronghold of Zion, that is the city of David. Simple. He took it. The arrogant mocked. Nevertheless, David didn't believe their threats. He didn't listen to their claims. He heard the Lord's claims and promises. And he went ahead with doing what God called him to do according to his word. Here you have this confidence. Whenever you do what the Lord has said, you may be absolutely confident the Lord is with you. He is with you. And he'll bless you in spite of the hardships that will result from following him. So he took that stronghold called Zion. That's God's nickname, his love name for the church, for Jerusalem. His term of endearment, Zion, the holy city, the mountain city, my dwelling place, my home on earth in the midst of my people, my meeting place with you. That's the place to which the tribes of the Lord go up to meet their God. It's a beautiful name. It's the first time the word Zion is mentioned, by the way, in the Bible. 2 Samuel 5. First time, right here. The day, the moment that Jerusalem got reclaimed, captured, to become the capital city of the Church of Christ. Listen to these descriptions of Jerusalem and Zion. You know some of them. Psalm 48, beautiful in elevation. The joy of all the earth is Mount Zion, in the sides of the north, the city of the great king. Or Psalm 132, for the Lord has chosen Zion. He has desired it for his dwelling place. He says, this is my resting place forever. Here I will dwell, for I have desired it. It's still his resting place. That's where the Lord Jesus has his throne. And then Hebrews 12 says that when we in the new covenant gather as church to worship God, where are we going? Verse 22, Hebrews 12, 22. We're going to Mount Zion. We're going to the city of the living God. We're going to the heavenly Jerusalem. We're there right now. Right now. Together with all the congregations of the Lord Jesus Christ that are gathered. We're having a meeting, a family meeting with our God in Jerusalem, in the holy temple, the holy city, right now. Well, how did David take it? Look at verse 8. David said on that day, whoever would strike the Jebusites, let him get up the water shaft to attack the lame and the blind. That is, he's answering them according to their taunt. Okay, so let's see you all as the lame and the blind, you Jebusites. Let him go up to the water shaft to attack the lame and the blind who are hated by David's soul. Therefore, it is said, the blind and the lame shall not come into the house. That's not that David hated disabled people. Think of how he later treated disabled Mephibosheth. No, he's using their taunt to describe them, the enemies of God whom his soul hates. And he's turning it into an opportunity for Israel. Let's go and fight their disabled army, because under the Lord's strength, they truly are going to be disabled. And here's the way we're going to take it. We're not going to use battering rams to pound on that wall and shake our brains. We're not doing that. But David knew of a secret passage. By the way, excavations have found that passage today. There's a spring outside the city wall of Jerusalem called the Gihon Spring. And the Jebusites had built a water shaft. Today it's called the Warren Shaft. But it's about 90 feet horizontal into the heart of the city, bringing the water in. And then it goes up and then steps leading right into the center of the city. And we know from 1 Chronicles that David said, whoever goes first will be the commander of my army. It was Joab. So there they went. Up the water shaft. Up into the center of the city. And suddenly there's this army appearing, coming out of their water shaft. And they take over the city. They reclaim the city for God's dwelling place. Finally, 400 years after the first invasion under Joshua. Wow. David believed the Lord's promise, dating back 1,000 years to Abraham. He believed the Lord's promise in spite of the age of that promise and the obstacles against that promise. Because he knows that God will keep his word. God's promises, brothers and sisters, do not have an expiration date. Even if they're 1,000 years old, they're still good as long as life shall last. They have no expiration date. And there's no obstacle or opposition in their way that can get in the way of God. So in spite of the age of the promise and the opposition to that promise, God's promises are always yes and amen in Christ Jesus. His promises are never too hard for him to accomplish. And as we go forward, to take hold of his promises and receive them, claim them. Whatever stands in the way, God will make a way. That's his way. Here's the question for us. Do we take seriously the promises of the Lord? Do we take him at his word? Or do we say, the walls are 30 feet thick? This promise doesn't work. Two applications. Think of how this applies to the Great Commission. Because the conquest of the Canaanite tribes in the days of Joshua are a picture of the conquest of the nations in the Great Commission when Jesus said, the great David, all authority in heaven and on earth are given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And lo, behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. God promised his Son the nations when he died on the cross for the sins of the world and rose again to give us a new life. He said, the nations are yours. They're promised. And Jesus says, now go and take them. They're mine. But they're making fun of us. They're saying the blind and the lame can beat you guys up. The church has no strength. And we say, oh yeah. I think I'll just stay at home. I think I won't go to my neighbors because they're just going to laugh at me anyway. And I'm tired of being mocked. I've just had enough. And my neighbors are so far away from the Lord, I know that the word will have no power over them. And when you lack faith in the promises of God, you lack courage to go out and do it. You, me. And the Great Commission is built on faith in the promises of God that the nations are Jesus and he will go with us to the end of the age. What more could we need to succeed? You can be sure that when you tell your neighbors what Jesus has done for you, his word will not return to him empty. Now, we don't know who's going to gather through that, but that's how he gathers, by throwing out the seed. The success is in throwing out the seed. And he will make something of our feeble efforts. Because though we are weak, he is strong. That's one application. The Great Commission, going out to our neighbors next door and far away to the ends of the earth. But it's true for all the promises of God. Not one of them is too old to be true. And not one of them is too hard to be true. Let's believe them. Take hold of God's promises in faith. Are you scared? Do you have a lot of anger in your life? Pray for peace. Have you sinned? And you can't find your way back? Pray for forgiveness. It's yours. Are you caught in the trap of an addiction which is holding your life down? Pray for freedom. It's yours. Believe that God has what it takes to give you what he has said he'll give you. It's yours. And don't let sin control you or fear control you any longer. Claiming what's been promised to us. Well, thirdly, it's built for God's people. Built by God for God's people. So David took the stronghold and lived in it, we read. And look at verses 9b through 12. David built the city all around from the Millo inward. And David became greater and greater. For the Lord, the God of hosts, was with him. I'm with you always till the close of the age. For the Lord, the God of hosts, was with him. And Hiram, king of Tyre, sent messengers to David, and cedar trees, and carpenters, and masons who built David a house. And David knew that the Lord had established him king over Israel, and that he had exalted his kingdom for the sake of his people. For the sake of his people, Israel. David didn't just take the city. He built it from the Millo inward. The Millo was likely a citadel or a tower on the south side from the city. And David built from that. And then Hiram, king of Tyre, a pagan, acknowledged David's kingship and gave him a welcome present of a house together with cedar trees and carpenters and masons. By that, the Lord confirmed that the Lord's favor was with David, even through Hiram. And David saw in so many ways that the Lord was building his church through a weak man like David. As Psalm 46 says, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. We're so weak that the lame and blind can defeat us. That's how weak we are. But in the Lord's strength, we can win our neighbors over to Christ. We can build the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And that's what Jesus is doing, the greater than David. From his headquarters in Zion, God's holy mountain in heaven, he's building his church from the millow inward, from the ends of the earth, across the world. And he's using us as his servants so that as David went forward and his men with him and used those weaklings to do great things, Jesus is saying, I've given you gifts to build the church. And you look at your gifts and say, what's this? I can't do anything with that. And Jesus says, trust me. Ephesians 4 is each one does his work as a member of the body of Christ. The body builds itself up in love. Amazing. A miracle. Now don't be afraid to labor for Christ's church and kingdom. And to believe that he can use a weakling like you and a weakling like me to accomplish his great thing for his people. That's right. For the sake of his people Israel, says verse 12. Jesus came for our sake. He didn't come to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many. He died for us, for his people. He rose for his people. He said to his disciples, I'm going to heaven for your good. He ascended for his people. He intercedes for his people. He pours out his Holy Spirit for his people. One day he's coming back for his people to take us into the New Jerusalem. For his people. Do you believe that our new David, Jesus, is working to build his church, to establish the church as the world's greatest city for his people, to build up the church around the world, and he's using you to lead us onward and forward until one day Jesus comes back. Listen, I saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death will be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain, for the former things will no longer be remembered. It's a beautiful thing. The Lord Jesus is doing for us in his Jerusalem. And we look around at Jerusalem and say, oh man, oh, what are we? You've heard this poem. To live above with saints I love, oh, that will be glory. But to live below with saints I know, that's another story. To Jesus, his church is beautiful. That's his bride. We're his holy city. He has captured us. And we can even hope that some of the Jebusites were converted, like Rahab was when Jericho was defeated. But he's captured us. And he's building us. And we're part of an amazing story of the world's greatest city. You want to be part of that story? Do you love the holy city? For Christ's sake? And I know that we're all flawed. I don't have time to go into that, but 13 through 16 talk about David's growing harem, multiplies his concubines and his wives, children. And that's part of the story that leads to his son amazingly, but it reminds us that it's not on the power of David himself, a deeply flawed person. But in the power of Christ and by the grace of Christ and that blood that washes away our sins and the Spirit that empowers us, that this happens. Not by David's power or yours or mine. Amen. Father in heaven, help us to believe your wonderful promises concerning your church and the spread of the gospel and the inclusion of people from all tribes and all peoples and languages and nations into the holy city of God. Lord, these promises look too old sometimes or too impossible, and we're tempted to give up on them. But help us, like David, to step forward in faith, claim what you have said, and go forward in the strength of the Lord. Help us to love you, but help us also to love your holy city. And we look forward to that day when she will be perfect and unblemished, a radiant bride coming down from heaven to earth with our Lord and Savior. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.